here on the mix on 90.7 WKGC. FM and HD, here when you need us. Good morning, I'm Caleb Jordan.
And I'm Dana Erskine.
And welcome to Wednesday, March 9th. We have with us in studio Joe Zerchowski out of Pensacola and Todd Schroeder out of Tallahassee with the Florida Forest Service. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So we've had three fires in the area, at least in Bay County, with the Atkins Avenue, the Star Avenue, and now the Bertha Swamp Fire coming out of Calhoun. Can you tell us kind of an update on where those sit?
Yeah, right now we're looking at 197 acres on the Star Fire, 80% contained. Atkins has been mapped at 875 acres, also 80% contained. The real remaining story, I guess, is the Bertha Swamp Road Fire, and that one's currently at 33,047 acres and only 10% containment. We've got some rain on them, yes, of course, and that's going to do a tremendous amount of good, but it's important to realize this doesn't put these fires out.
Certainly.
33,000 acres is a lot of ground to cover. Our folks from the Florida Forest Service are going to have to go in, get lines around every square inch of that 33,000 acres, put one contiguous line around the whole thing, and then we're going to have to watch it for days and days and days to make sure any lingering hot spots or smolders don't reignite and kind of go back off to the races.
Certainly. And, you know, the vigilance doesn't stop just because there's a line around it.
Correct.
Because, you know, embers can jump the line, and it's a constant effort to contain these fires, which, you know, many thanks to both the Forest Service and our local first responders in responding to this event. Certainly the response from the state level and the National Guard has been an enormous help, very reassuring to the local community that there are people ready to deal with these things as they come. But the goal is to not have to deal with these, the goal is to prevent them from happening in the first place, which is very difficult to do with the current conditions.
Absolutely. You know, regionally, they're talking about a drought situation. It doesn't seem like it today. We're getting a good amount of rain, and that's good for the short term. But longer term, looking at May, June, and even into July, they're expecting abnormally dry conditions, if not drought-like conditions.
Certainly. A little rain today is not going to resolve the issue long term. It will get hot, it will dry out, and then we will be in the same predicament, especially in our local area with the debris from Hurricane Michael.
Mm-hmm. Right. If we go back to Hurricane Michael occurring in October, of course, of 2018, where it affected this area adversely with both losing homes and habitat throughout this area and the panhandle. At that time, there were 72 million tons of timber down, covering some 2.8 million acres. So lots of timber on the ground, lots of heavy timber on the ground, covering a vast part of the region. When it fell down, it didn't fall down in straight stacks. Mm-hmm. It fell down kind of like a pickup stick in that kind of fashion, and it made it extremely difficult for cleanup to happen, and also to be able to get into these areas if something should happen was a real challenge.
Certainly. Anyone who had dealt with hurricane debris in their neighborhood right after the event, you know how hard it was to not only clear streets, but even sometimes get out of your home with these large trees blocking the way. So imagine that on a scale of multiple million acres to have to manage. It is a gargantuan task, which is something that the Forest Service is responsible for managing, but there's only so much that can be done with that scale. There had been, a constant discussion about prescribed burns. You know, go ahead, over the last 3 years, go ahead and get rid of some of it incrementally. Can you tell me a little bit about how y'all, the Forest Service, planned on the management of this?
Right. I mean, that was considered, has been considered, and it's been implemented in certain properties, certain places. But just given the scale, it's just not feasible. Even over 3 years, that large of a landscape level project is not, it just couldn't happen. And in the places we did try to do some prescribed burning, we found it very difficult to control. erratic fire behavior. It wasn't like our traditional prescribed burns, which were much more manageable, able to be done safely, able to be done efficiently. When you get to the fuel loading that we have after Michael, it is a tool that has been implemented and is always considered, but like every job, you have to use the right tool, you know, and sometimes that's it, but overall that one hasn't been the most effective and safest.
Certainly, and because the swath of land from Panama City up through Tallahassee into Georgia is the path that Hurricane Michael carved through the area. That is an enormous amount of trees and land to cover that is, certainly, as you described, prescribed burning wasn't the right solution for the scale of the project.
Right, yeah.
Which, you know, there has been many things done to help prevent these things. Like you had described, there had been 600 miles of fire lines cut. Can you describe some of that?
Correct, yeah. So through our local mitigation efforts, the Florida Forest Service, which started almost immediately after Michael, by helping to clear roads. You know, any road can serve as a fire break under the right conditions. But our folks took it a step further and went into some of the more rural properties and were clearing roads that really did, not that they didn't lead to anywhere, but they just bisected a single owner's property or whatnot. But in the future, that could help stop the spread of a wildfire. They then further took it even further from there and started installing fire breaks in and around the seven counties that were, you know, most impacted. And yeah, as you said, 600 plus miles, one of which down at the Sims Veterans Home surrounds that structure facility right there. And that's actually a huge story that we're going to kind of tell the tale of in the coming days and weeks is how effective these fire breaks can be where we've installed them. And of course, nobody has a crystal ball. We can't predict where the next fire is going to be, but we look at historical occurrences, wildfire potential, and we make an educated decision on where to put these breaks.
Certainly, and that break specifically around the Sims Veterans Home was put in there well before this event.
Correct.
It was there in preparation for if a fire did happen and it affected the area,
right.
There was preparation done to protect that facility and those people as well.
Correct.
And prevention is one of the biggest things. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the fire ban as a tool to help prevent more fires from the community, people having things in them getting out of hand, along with prevention efforts that the individuals can take to help prepare their property and home for an event. So we'll get to that shortly right here on The Mix.